Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is now 14 minutes past the hour of 9. Welcome to Radio Islam. My name is Muhammad Bamin. I'll be your host this morning until 10 a.m. inshallah. Joining us online we have is Malana Zahir Ahmad Raghi. Malana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we take this opportunity of greeting all our esteemed listeners on Radio Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalam. Marana, how are you this morning?
Alhamdulillah, Marana. I hope you are well, enjoying the bright sunshine after some good rains. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Marana, we were discussing the story of Suratul Kahf, the commentary of Suratul Kahf. And in our last lesson we did, that was last week, we did from ayat number 51 to ayat number, till the end of ayat number 53, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, رَمَّا أَشْهَدْتُمْ خَلْقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَا خَلْقَ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ مُتَّخِذَ الْمُذِلِّينَ عَدُدًا. The Allah is mentioning about, He does not require Iblis and Shaitan to be present at the creation of the heavens and the earth. We see when the heavens and the earth was created, Shaitan was not present. Allah mentions that even when Allah created the jinnat, then also their own creation, they were not present, and Allah did everything else without their help. How can they then be regarded as Allah's partners? Allah mentions, they cannot take His assistance those who lead others astray. After that, Allah mentions, وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ نَادُوا شُرَكَائِيَ الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ فَدَعَوْهُمْ فَلَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَوْبِقًا. That Allah mentions, now remember the day of Qiyamah, when Allah will say to the mushrikeen, they call those partners of yours of whom you regarded as partners of Allah to assist them, and they will then call their partners, their gods, and these gods will not respond to them because they will not be able to do so, and they will not be able to do anything, and they shall place a barrier between them, that is between the mushrikeen and the gods. And with the barrier in place, they will be even more convinced that they can expect absolutely no assistance from their gods. Thereafter, Allah mentions, وَرَأَى الْمُجْرِمُونَ النَّارَ فَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مُوَاقِعُوهَا وَلَمْ يَجِدُوا عَنْهَا مَصْرِفًا. That on the day of Qiyamah, the sinful ones will see the fire of Jahannam in front of them, and although they will be certain that they will fall into it, they, despite their desperate efforts, will not find anyone to rescue them from it. That is, on the day of Qiyamah, the kuffar, the mushrikeen, will have complete conviction of the pending doom, and will therefore try avenues to save themselves. However, their efforts will all be in vain. So we see that these two ayat are discussing Jahannam. And then, Mawlana, we also did the overview of the structure of Suratul Kahf. We mentioned that first we seen the khutbah. The Suratul Kahf started with the khutbah. Thereafter, the first story came, then a second sermon came, then a second story came. And this ayat from ayat 45 to 59, there are two sermons, no stories, and thereafter two stories will follow, and it will conclude with the sermon. And in this ayat number 53, Allah describes these people as criminals because they call other gods with Allah as they made fun of the Quran.
Marana, I think I hope you don't regard this as an examination. It seems like you're answering a question paper, and you so beautifully summed up what we had discussed thus far, and maybe we could give you an A, 100% inshallah. Jazakumullah for that wonderful recap of what we had discussed thus far. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We continue today inshallah with ayah number 54. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses us and tells us, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد صرفنا في هذا القرآن للناس من كل مثل وكان الإنسان أكثر شيء جدلا. Allah says in this ayah, for people, we have given all kinds of examples. For people, we gave all kinds of ayah and all kinds of variations of examples. And the human is the most argumentative. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانِ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. Insan, mankind, are the most argumentative, either out of all of creation or with regards to every subject matter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compares the ayah to wind. Some are soft, heavy, some carry clouds. Just like some people also have different temperaments, and what resonates with them is different. People's intellectual capacity is different, and it will always be so. So we need to talk to people to their capacity. However, the remarkable miracle and the remarkable aspect and the remarkable thing about the Quran Kareem is that the Quran speaks to the scholar and the layman at the same time. Subhanallah. So it spoke to the most uneducated society in the world during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then you have this huge scholarly society in Rome, and they could not get enough treasures out of it. Ayah number 53, which we spoke of last week, ends with the word masrifa. If you recall in the ayah, Allah says, وَرَأَى الْمُجْرِمُونَ النَّارَ فَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مُوَاقِعُهَا وَلَمْ يَجِدُوا عَنْهَا مَصْرِفًا. The criminals will then see the fire at the bottom of the spit, and they will be absolutely convinced that they will be cast into it, and they will not find a place to move or anywhere to go. Masrifa, they will have no place to go or to move. So the ayah end with the word masrifa. This ayah, ayah number 54, begins with the word sarrafna, very similar in meaning, and this is another beauty of the Quranic gems. So this ayah begins with sarrafna. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ sarrafna. The previous ayah ended off with masrifa. In this ayah it begins with sarrafna. وَلَقَدْ sarrafna فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ. For people, we give all kinds of ayah and signs and all kinds of variations of examples. And insan, human, are the most argumentative, either out of all creation or with every subject matter. So sarrafna and masrifa. Now for the benefit of people, Allah says, we gave all kinds of ayahs and examples. Allah mentions here, an-nas. وَلَقَدْ sarrafna فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. And the word an-nas comes in, where Allah says, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانِ. So the word nas. So Allah mentions here mankind and wanted to include all people to benefit from the Quran. So this Quran is not only of benefit to a believer, it is of benefit to every human that populates this universe. So in this Quran, Allah has alternated and Allah has made variation for the benefit of people from all kinds of examples. Allah gave all kinds of examples that you needed to get a point across. So Allah is saying there is no shortage of examples given. Min kulli mathal. Allah is also describing here that examples are of key importance for obtaining and gaining guidance. There's reminders in the Quran as examples. There's talk about the future. There's talk about the past. But particularly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights here for us the value of examples. This passage began with an example of worldly life compared to water coming down from the sky, ayah number 45. It began with that, how Allah gave an example of worldly life compared to water coming down from the sky. And before that was the example of the two men whom Allah gave guidance to. So Allah says, we gave all kinds of examples to people, and we've alternated these examples for each person's different understanding. It doesn't matter what kind of example is used, but subhanallah, every example comes back to one point, and that is Allah. Every example that Allah provides for us in the Quran Kareem, the ultimate objective of that example is to understand that everything returns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why the word Allah has used here, وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلْ. Allah used the word صَرَّفْنَا, which is derived from the word tasrif. So tasrif is not just presenting examples, but rather using examples to bring you back to the same fundamental point. Subhanallah, this is in the hidden, in the subtleness of the vocabulary that Allah uses. When Allah used the word sarrafna, walaqad sarrafna, the inner meaning of the word tasrif is to come back. So Allah says, we have given you every type of example, and the ultimate objective here is to bring you back to the same fundamental point, which is Allah. Become Allah's servant and find your purpose. So Allah says, وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ. For people, we give all kinds of ayahs, and all kinds of variations of examples. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانِ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. But mankind, humans, are the most argumentative, either out of all of creation or with regards to every subject matter. Now let's look at how Allah brings about this last part of this ayah, that about mankind being extremely argumentative, or rather the most argumentative from every creation. Now, one way of thinking about the word jadala, which refers to argumentative, it is a tamiz. It is a differentiator. What do we mean by that? So when you talk in ambiguous terms, and then you specify it. So this ayah says, human beings are more and more and more in what? وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانِ أَكْثَرَ. Mankind are more in what? More in jadal, more in argumentative. So the word jadala here is actually a specifier of a characteristic of mankind. So Allah is saying that more than anything else and all other things, human beings are more argumentative compared to every other creation. They are more argumentative when it comes to the truth. Jadal literally means to argue back or to resist. Now, it's not just presenting an argument, but it means to argue back, to resist. So human beings are averse to hear something and being convinced. Now, this aspect on this characteristic of mankind, that they are in the nature, in the temperament, is that they first would always be averse to something. When they hear something, it is very difficult for them to be convinced. And, you know, psychologists talk about this, that you when you meet people and when you tell them something, and if their first response to you is no, and then they say something, that tells you a lot about the psychology and the characteristic of a person. Now, why do people do that? Why are humans so argumentative? And Allah makes clear here in this ayah and brings about this point in a very categorical form, that one of the characteristics of mankind is they are argumentative. Now, we should ask a question, that if you want to remedy the sickness that we are afflicted with, how do we do that? We can only do that if we know the symptoms. We can only do that if we know why. So why are mankind and insan so argumentative when hearing something? It's either out of pride or it is out of curiosity that we argue. So man, insan, is prone first to disagree with things and question them and criticize them. And this could only be for two reasons. It is either out of pride, that we have this aspect of self, we absorbed in our personal ego, etc., and pride, or it is because of our curiosity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts this phrase in the same ayah as telling you that He gave you all kinds of examples. And the point of examples isn't for you to argue, but it is for you to understand. But yet, instead of understanding, if it is for the purpose of understanding, Allah is already addressing the curiosity that is within us, which leads us to argue. But it is not that, because we are still arguing. That means it is out of pride. Now, the other premise is that examples are being given and people have no desire to understand. They want to argue against it, and they want to have a critique, and they want to have an opinion about everything. So humans find a way to argue on most issues. Most things you talk to them about, they argue. Even if things are there that are there should not be things to argue about. Most things you talk to them about, they argue. Even things that there should be no arguments about. So Allah gave us all kinds of examples that leave no room for arguments, yet we argue. When people are hell-bent on argument, these people are hell-bent on being ungrateful. So the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا, and man is the most quarrelsome of all things, has been testified through a hadith narrated by Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that on the day of Qiyamah, a man from the disbelievers will be brought forth, and he will be asked, what was your response to the messenger we had sent to you? And he will say, O Allah, O my Lord, as for me, I did believe in you, and I did believe in your messenger too, and that I obeyed in him everything I did. Allah will then say, here is your book of deeds before you. All this you say is not there. And this man will say, I do not believe in this book of deeds. Now, you see this hadith, how it's expressing the natural temperament of man. And immediately he will say, I do not believe in these books of deeds. Allah will then say to him, what about these angels of ours? They used to watch you. They bear witness against you. And this man will say, I do not accept their testimony as well. Nor do I know them, nor have I seen them while I was doing what I did. Allah will say, okay, if so, this preserved tablet is before you. Written here too is the same thing about you. And he will say, O Allah, O my Lord, have you granted me asylum from injustice or have you not? So he's questioning Allah. Said, O Allah, haven't you granted me asylum from injustice or have you not? In other words, you have established a characteristic of yours which is the most just. And you have to exercise the justice of yours today. Allah will say, of course, you have your refuge against injustice with us. So then this man will say, O Allah, O my Lord, how can I accept the verdict of those unseen witnesses? I'm not familiar with any of them. As for me, I can only accept a witness that comes from my own person. At that time, Allah will seal his mouth. His mouth will be sealed. His hands and feet will bear witness against his disobedience, against his disbelief, against his shirk. And after that, he will be released and thrown into the fire of Jahannam. The subject matter of this narrative has been reported in Sahih Muslim. Now, in this subject matter, we find that in spite of all the evidence placed before the person, he will still be argumentative. And this is how the nature of man is. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that I have given you in the Quran Kareem every form of example, and the word Allah uses, tasrif, the examples are there presented before you so that you can come back to the fundamental point, and that is Allah and believing in Allah and His Messenger. But in spite of all these examples that we have presented before you, you still argue. And the purpose of your arguing is only two: pride or curiosity to learn. Now, it cannot be curiosity to learn, because for curiosity to learn, we have given you examples that make things very clear for you to understand. So there is no room left for misunderstanding. So the only reason that you argue now is pride. May Allah save us. And this is so common today in our times also, that we find that insan, and especially we as Muslims, and I would take the courage of saying that even here in our own country, every issue becomes a point of arguing. Every issue becomes a point of disagreement. Every issue becomes a point of dissent. And this is something that we need to really reflect. Are we arguing about issues to learn more? Or is it because of our ego? Is it because some of us, and especially as scholars, we have the self-righteousness that has come into us, and it is this reason that we make every point a point of argument, so that my view is the only view that is accepted. And every other view and every other opinion is rejected, even if the differences that are there between people or between scholars are differences not based on fundamentals. It is based on difference of opinion, based on the understanding of a particular text. Yet, we want only one view and my view and my view. And then we make every issue a point of argument. And it is primarily not based on curiosity and more learning, because then the approach would be different. But the approach we are taking and the language that we use, when we become so argumentative about every issue, only points to one thing, and that is pride and ego. May Allah save us. Now, this brings us to an end of ayah number 54. We continue with ayah number 55. Shall I continue, Marana, or you want a break?
Marana, we can continue, and it's still okay. 25 too.
Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ayah number 55. وَمَا مَنَعَ النَّاسَ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا إِذْ جَاءَهُمُ الْهُدَى وَيَسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ سُنَّةُ الْأَوَّلِينَ أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ قُبُلًا. Allah says, what prevented people from believing when guidance came to them, and as a result of seeking forgiveness from their master, except that the unfortunate legacy of the older nation kept coming back to them, meaning they relived what previous nations lived and were afflicted with the same disease that the previous nation was afflicted with. And they kept making the same mistakes, but it was too late. And the punishment was right there, and it was too late to go back. Let's just look at this ayah in the translation. وَمَا مَنَعَ النَّاسَ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا إِذْ جَاءَهُمُ الْهُدَى وَيَسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ سُنَّةُ الْأَوَّلِينَ أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ قُبُلًا. After we have presented every form of example for you to understand and come back to Allah, as was mentioned in the previous ayah, yet you, mankind, are extremely argumentative about everything. So, what prevented you, Allah says, وَمَا مَنَعَ النَّاسِ, what prevented people, أَيُؤْمِنُوا, from believing, إِذْ جَاءَهُمُ الْهُدَى, when guidance came to them, وَيَسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّهُمْ, and as a result of seeking forgiveness from the mass from the Allah, what prevented you from believing? What prevented you from seeking forgiveness from Allah for your past mistakes? إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ سُنَّةُ الْأَوَّلِينَ, except that the unfortunate legacy of the older nations kept coming back to them. إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ سُنَّةُ الْأَوَّلِينَ أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ قُبُلًا. Now, what is this unfortunate legacy of the older nations that kept coming back to them? It means they relived what previous nations lived and what previous nations were afflicted with. They relived the same disease that the previous nations were afflicted with. And they kept making the same mistakes. أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ قُبُلًا. And then it was too late. And the punishment was right there. And it was too late to go back. Now, guidance and hidayah is being further elaborated. That the purpose of examples was guidance. And guidance was supposed to lead you to the faith and iman. So this is an ayah of tragedy. This ayah is an ayah of tragedy, that in spite of the examples, in spite of all of that, you argued so much and you refused to accept the truth. And what resulted and what was the cause for you to reject is because you want to relive what your past nations lived by. Allah then continues, وَمَا نُرْسِلُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِلَّا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنْذِرِينَ. We did not send messengers at all except to give good news and then give warnings. And those that disbelieve kept giving false arguments whose validity is inherently unproven. وَيُجَادِلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ لِيُدْحِدُوا بِهِ الْحَقِّ وَاتَّخَذُوا آيَاتِي وَمَا أُنذِرُوا هُزُوًا. We sent messengers, and we did not send messengers but to give good news, to explain things, and also to give warnings about the consequences of disbelief. But those that disbelieve kept giving false arguments because it is inherent in them, because of their ego, they kept arguing and giving false arguments. And such false arguments whose validity was unproven. وَيُجَادِلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ. The validity of their arguments was unproven. لِيُدْحِدُوا بِهِ الْحَقِّ. They used all kinds of illegitimate arguments to argue, and they do it to make the truth collapse and slip. And they took my ayat and whatever warnings they were given as a joke. One of the ways to dismantle something and to make it seem less intelligent is to scoff at it, to make it a joke. Now, subhanallah, this ayah is so beautiful and it's so apt in our times. Let's just listen to the translation of this ayah once more. Allah says, we did not send messengers at all except to give good news and then to give warnings. But those who disbelieve kept giving false arguments. And they gave false arguments whose validity was unproven. They used all kinds of illegitimate arguments to argue. وَيُجَادِلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ لِيُدْحِدُوا بِهِ الْحَقِّ. And they used all kinds of illegitimate arguments to argue, and they do it to make the truth collapse and slip. And then when they fail and they find that their arguments are not proving or not fulfilling their ulterior evil objectives of making the truth seem untruth, in making the truth seem to be incorrect, in order to make this truth slip, and when they see they are failing with their illegitimate arguments, then as a last resort, what do? وَاتَّخَذُوا آيَاتِي وَمَا أُنذِرُوا هُزُوَى. Subhanallah. What they then do is, they then took my ayat and my signs and whatever warnings they were given as a joke. One of the ways to dismantle an argument, if you are unable to prove your point, is to make it seem less intelligent and to scoff it. So if you tie this to the previous ayah and the previous ayats, people keep arguing. But why are they arguing when they are receiving good news first? Why would you turn good news away? Then Allah argues that yes, nations fell into tragedy. And they only get destroyed only after messengers came to save them first. And even after they gave good news of a way out, people still would not listen. Then the messenger would give warnings. The idea of logical fallacies. When two people are arguing, both people have evidence, and you just want to see whose evidence is stronger. But if one of the people has psychological trickery, they can also win an argument. They can make you feel stupid. They can make you intimidated. They can manipulate you and win the argument without having any actual evidence to actually win an argument. Allah declared that human beings on most things are argumentative. But here Allah says that disbelievers not only argue a lot, but they use illegitimate arguments. لِيُدْحِدُوا is derived from the word dahava, dal ha dod, which means to slip and to collapse. The idea that you can intimidate someone into going back on what they believe or on the truth. There are ayahs in the Quran that address this intimidation. All of these are tactics that they use, that are used by people. Also, when these people are placed in a situation where they are unable to respond and have no more any arguments and are defeated, they would start mocking, and they would mock at Deen. وَاتَّخَذُوا آيَاتِ وَمَا أُنذِرُوا هُزُوًا. And they took my ayat and whatever warnings they were given as a joke. One of the ways to dismantle something and to make it seem less intelligent is to scoff at it. Hence we see in our times the issue of cartoons. We see in our times the issue of mocking at the religion and all the shi'ar and symbols of deen. Subhanallah. Beautifully Allah has encapsulated this psychology and this temperament and this thinking of people. Allah says, let's just recap. We presented so many arguments for you, so many examples for you. The purpose of presenting arguments is for you to understand. And the word that Allah uses, وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا, which means, derived from the word تَصْرِيف, which means to return back, to come back. To come back to what? To come back to the fundamental, foundational principles of deen, which is tawheed. However, mankind, Allah says, it is in their nature to be extremely argumentative within themselves, among themselves, and about every issue. And the reason that mankind would argue is either out of pride or out of curiosity to learn more. But here it is not for curiosity to learn more, because Allah has presented every form of example for us to have a clear understanding of what is required. So the only reason we are arguing is because of our pride and our ego. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said to us that what prevented them from believing and accepting what Allah has said and make istighfar and seek forgiveness from Allah for their past mistakes? The only reason is they followed the footsteps of the past generations. And the footsteps of the past generations was what? Ignorance and pride and arrogance. Allah then comes and tells us, the reason that I have sent messengers, I send them to give you good tidings, glad tidings. Accept the glad tidings. Or, if you don't, then they are also giving you warnings. However, instead of accepting, you start presenting arguments. وَيُجَادِلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ, and illegitimate arguments. And you hold on to those arguments in order for deen to slip, to make weak the position of deen and the position of truth. And at the end, if you are unsuccessful, then you make a mock of whatever we have said. And we see this in our times, that as far as good sound arguments are presented about the beauty of deen, about the absolute beautiful character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will argue about the personality of Rasulullah and they will argue about the truthfulness of the Quran with illegitimate arguments. And if they fail to make deen weak, they will then resort to mocking deen, cartoons, etc. However, in this ayah, there is also something else which I just wish our listeners to reflect a little on. This is mentioned for arguments and presenting of truth between Muslims and non-Muslims. However, we find today that even among scholars, or so-called scholars, among our own community, we have this temperament of arguing about every issue which I've made mention of previously in the beginning of our discussion. When there is a difference of opinion on issues, instead of providing and presenting sound arguments on an alternate view, we find many times people are using illegitimate arguments. And the illegitimate arguments is what? Foul language against people with whom we have a difference of opinion. And that is what Allah is saying here, that people would use illegitimate arguments. And if they don't succeed in winning their point, they will start mocking at people, mocking at different views. And we find that such foul language is used in providing a viewpoint, that it only becomes a mock. And it only becomes a pastime entertainment for people to read some of the journals with the foul language that is maintained in those journals. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true understanding of deen. May Allah make us understand that our deen is not just a matter of jokes, but it is a serious matter. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in the time that we are living in the difficult times that we are living in, where the ummah is being persecuted at every moment, one of the greatest fitna of our time is the fitna of atheism, where people are just rejecting faith. And another one is where people are just not regarding sin as sin anymore. And in times like that, it should be our united effort to rather address these grave issues than going into small squabbles about small issues and further confusing and growing divisions in the ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And may Allah make us understand the reality of our deen. Mana will conclude here. If there is any comments that people said, I know today I said a few things which is a little bit away from what our normal discussions are, but these are lessons that we can reflect on from the ayat that we have just discussed.
Definitely, Morana. If there are any comments, then you can always SMS us on 48855. That's 48855. Or you can send me an SMS. That's 0723287777. That's 0723287777. Morana, jazakallah for your time. Much appreciated. We hope to speak to Morana next week, Wednesday.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It brings to the end of today's episode. Until we meet again, from myself, Muhammad Bam, and my engineer, brother Ziad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.